We now come to the solemn part of our gathering. Everything to do with the cause of Christ is solemn. The death of Christ is most solemn. I lay down my life for the sheep. And prior to the ordinance and the engagement in this ordinance, remembering the Lord's death till he come, the custom is, we believe, based on the word of God, that a distinction should be made between those who have every right to come to the Lord's table and others who do not have that right. The right to come to the table lies in the authority of Christ, this do in remembrance of me, when we don't have that authority from Christ as those who have closed in with him, obviously, what would any person be doing at the Lord's table? So that we would notice briefly those who ought not to be. Some think it's inappropriate at such a time as this, according to the scriptures, it's very appropriate because that's what Paul did in Corinth, where there was a section of the people in the church at Corinth which was not behaving themselves. Paul took occasion at the pronouncement of the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, and he tied it in with the Lord's Supper, that there were those who ought not to do that, lest they eat and drink condemnation or damnation to themselves. So what we are saying is it is appropriate to say such things at this particular time when we have the example in the Word of God. And time again in the ministry of Christ, he did point out those who were not his disciples and those who were. We have that, of course, in the chapter we read, chapter 10. So in making this distinction, we would point out that there were those in the very presence of Christ, time and time again, and their principal sin was that they did not believe in him. Flowing from that, you got all these side effects of even spitting upon him. It lies in unbelief. People think lightly of unbelief, but it is the root of all abuse upon the person of Christ. No person is going to speak to Christ the way the Pharisees did, unless lying at the very root of that is unbelief, refusing to believe in Christ. So that's your great sin, friend, that prevents you being at the Lord's table, unbelief, not receiving or resting upon Christ alone for salvation. We will mention sins as is normal at this time, but the source of it all is an unbelieving heart. So that here today, while you may not be guilty of certain sins and may be able to point the finger at others who are guilty of these sins and think very well regarding yourself, but do you believe Christ? Do you believe Christ? Oh yes, I believe there is such a person. I believe in the history of Christ. But do you believe Christ as to rely upon him for the salvation of your never dying soul? And to whom shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And where there is this unbelief, there's no receiving of Christ, there's no resting upon Christ. There's no longing after Christ. There's no joy in the house of God the principal joy in the house of God is the preaching of Christ. And there's no real joy in your life apart from worldly joys, family joys. And even these things that are lawful in themselves to rejoice over, as food on your table and all that, you cannot really rejoice in the fullness of joy when you do not know Christ. And if you don't know Christ, then the Lord's table is not for you. And when the ordinance was instituted, it was the disciples that were there. And they all believed in Christ. Now, the solemn thing is, when we don't believe in Christ, as I said, it's the sin that underlies all sin. That's for sure. If a man believed that God was a reality, that hell was a reality, that makes him hesitant to curse God. Hesitant, not saying he's converted. But if he has this conviction through the by reason of his being in the presence of the Word of God, and as many have a deep impression of the world of spirits, every religion has, of course, some impression of the world of spirits, because we are made that way, we are created that way. We said that already. It cannot but be like that. And if a man believes in the reality of God and punishment hereafter, he's very careful. They make good Pharisees, and that's about it. They need Christ. But the point is, where there is no faith and confidence in Christ, that man's going to be given over by his nature, of course, to all kinds of sins. And we would point out a few of these as that is appropriate. Now, but before we do that, it's very solemn when we go to Corinth there. And that there were people who were known to be at the Lord's table, and they were given to gluttony and drunkenness. Incredible. Now, as to whether they were genuine believers or not, it's not for me to say, but a genuine believer can fall away horribly from the path of duty and from applying himself or herself to the obedience which Christ has, which Christ requires, if you love me, keep my commandments. And any believer who errs like that, of course, you've got church discipline. It's only stating a plain fact, you can't live like that. And if a believer knows that there are secret sins in their lives and they profess Christ, and that these secret sins go on and on and on and become inured, what would you be doing at the Lord's table till you get repentance? But how many, friend, are there? And they're given over to transgressing the commandments of God. We don't expect a heathen to come through the door, an Islamic worshipper, and to sit at the Lord's table because he's a heathen, or one who kisses the toe of the Pope, adores Mary, idolaters or not, to be at the Lord's table. It's obvious from the scriptures. And all these commandments, Sabbath breaking, it's to keep the standard laid down by the Word of God. For Christ says, "My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice." And what else? "They follow me, And how patently clear Christ is when these Pharisees pursue him from place to place and so irritated with him that they eventually took up stones against him. What does he say? He says to them, because you're not my sheep. I told you that you believed not. And they proceeded to do all these evils. So a person who's given over to Sabbath breaking, the picture is this. You've never known Christ. If you knew Christ, you would love his day. You would. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And the same applies to... We know there can be tremendous ignorance in those who may be the Lord's people in certain quarters because they are not taught. But surely among ourselves we're educated in these things. And if a person cannot show honour to a parent, even though that person would be 60, 70 years old, and has no respect, when the very principle being a servant of Christ, a believer, is to honour the authority of Christ as a master. And God has given position over children through the parent, and an honour is to be shown to the parent. And it's a serious thing when children rise up against parents and children rule parents. It's contrary to the very principle of the gospel. Christ is master. We obey him. And for those who have disrespect for parents, it's totally contrary to the whole principle of the gospel, as we said. Follow me. Christ has made and ordained society and magistrates and those in authority, and it begins in the home. So they are debarred from the Lord's table. Young people think very little of ignoring parents and doing their own things which are contrary to the word of God. It doesn't mean for one moment that we are to obey parents when they don't obey God themselves, and obey parents when they are in the middle of doing what is contrary to the person of God asking us to do the same. Well, we know that, surely. But on the biblical basis, disregard from parents is a solemn thing in the sight of God. And God pronounces some very solemn judgments against those. And a child that doesn't obey the parent will be given to a recklessness against authority out with the parent, and disregard governments and disregard, I'm speaking about proper authority and authority that is reasonable. We're not required to obey governments and laws they make which are contrary to the laws of God. So what we're saying is they are debarred from the Lord's table, and so on for all the commandments. Uncleanness is at a tremendous height, and there are some who outwardly are very respectful, and perhaps in their lives nobody will see anything contrary, but in their hearts is a cesspool of uncleanness. In the eye of Christ, if you don't abhor that, you're still in your sins. For he that looketh upon a woman to lust after her in his heart is a transgressor of the law of God. The same applies to hatred, ungrounded, hate evil. That's good, but to hate wrongly is evil. Well, according to the scriptures, those who are God's are to be evidently so, as Christ says, "My sheep hear my voice." Him who giveth his life for the sheep. And they know the voice of Christ. "If you love me, keep my commandments." Well, more could be said about that, no doubt. But then there is another class of people, and they are to be invited to the Lord's table. Those who fear the Lord. We were hearing about Peter a few times since we came. But Peter was one of the Lord's people. But I'm sure Peter had heavy thoughts when he went out and wept bitterly. Was he fit to be a member of the body of Christ? Now, God's people go through these experiences because they do fall into sin. And what we are to remember about Peter, and which we have been reminded about, is that he got repentance. And that's the thing. Penitent soul, you know the wrongs in your life. You know, too, how you have had to go out and weep bitterly. You know it. But Peter came back to Christ. Some say when he was in the boat naked and threw on his top coat, it would have been, threw on his top coat and threw himself into the water, that he was one of the first to go to where Christ was. And a penitent soul is just like that. When they realize what they have done, I must go back to the person that I love, thou knowest that I love thee. I must go back. And when we can use natural, ordinary pictures, experiences to demonstrate something about Christ, if there's someone in this world that you have hurt and you've lost contact and you've lost the sweet fellowship and time together, you're anxious to get back. And how do I get back? I'll confess my wrong. I'll confess my wrong. In a higher plane against Christ, I'll confess my wrong. I will confess unto the Lord my trespasses, said I, and anxious that he would declare to me the forgiveness of my sin. And one of the great troubles that these people find, it's all too often that I fall and err. And how many times shall I forgive my brother? We are told 70 times 70, that we believe is indefinitely. And what you find in your life, you're never done but coming back and back. Well, keep coming back and back. It's his pleasure to pardon sin. And if that is your exercise, aware of these wrongs in your life and ashamed of these wrongs, but you're not going to live with them, and you can't live with the guilt of them, and you can't live with the breach that it has made between you and Christ, I can't. And I go back to the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. And that's proper. And that's all within the scope of the gospel declaration and pattern and economy. It's all within it. You're doing what you ought to do. And Well, Christ speaks to Peter, to make Peter not annoyed, but simply upset that he was questioning his love. I think we're mature enough, a believer is mature enough to know what it is to love this and love that, and not love that and not love this, and what it is to love Christ. And more than that, what it is to love Christ more than any object in the world. And the longing of your soul, although I've marred myself and I've fallen into the ditch and done what I ought not to have done, I do love him as the only one that can deliver me from the muck that I have around my soul. And we are to remember his death till he come. And when we remember his death, it's a great privilege to remember his death, and every believer should know that, to be identifying with Christ. Because this too, in remembrance of me, we're identifying with Christ, remembering him who is a Saviour to me. This too, in remembrance of me and what I have done. And by sitting at the Lord's table, we are remembering what he has done. I lay down my life for the sheep. And what a privilege in this world to be in a position to do that. This is the world where Satan has his seat. What a privilege is bestowed upon you. Where the wicked are, where Satan has his kingdom, and we would stand out on the side of Christ. And when I remember his death, it's just as a broken sinner, it's just as a condemned sinner, and it's just as one who's looking to him who laid down his life for the sheep. And that salvation is of him. I'm not magnifying myself, I'm magnifying Christ. That's why I want to remember the death of Christ. As an obligation, of course, it's a duty. And anybody that doesn't magnify Christ as the one in whom there is atonement, of course, the Lord's table is not for them. And when they live in sin, living in sin appears to indicate that they love sin more than Christ. But the Lord's people are not like that. They fall into sin, but they come through the world weeping over their sins. And who is this that cometh up through the wilderness, leaning upon their beloved? And that there is a distinction between believers and unbelievers. And the world knows it. But if the believers are not behaving themselves, they mar not only their own profession, but they mar the profession of the visible church. As I remember a young man in Africa, you knew him, Maswabo, he's dead now, he was a minister. And as a young man, he came through the mission in Gwenya. And under the preaching of Reverend Alfred MacDonald, he came to a concern about his bad life. And he went back home to Sri Shivani. And it was his habit to go to the Lord's table. He wasn't converted. But by being at Ngwenya, he came to know between right and wrong. And sitting right beside him was a prostitute whom we saw in the Sri Shivani streets. And that really puzzled him. But that's the beginning, you see, of being taught of God to know you're a sinner, you need Christ, and once you find Christ, you're going to live a different life. And the ultimate of that is this: remember the death of Christ. This do in remembrance of me. Well, may he bless these few remarks, and we shall read the appropriate passages. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And Matthew chapter 5, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. And for my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted did they the prophets which were before you. May God bless these readings of his word to us.